Welcome back to our lessons on Pope Francis and Rosmini. Analyzing the last of the five wounds of Rosmini, we pointed out what Rosmini meant by analyzing that the spirit of feudalism has pervaded the church and had, in a certain sense, falsified her original spirit, her original mission, leading to the Constantine epoch of the church, leading to the epoch in a certain sense determined by feudalism, by feudalistic spirit. And we saw how also in the interpretation and in the preoccupations of Pope Francis, this type of feudalism, of power of the ones on the others, of the division of individuality, and also of the power exercised by those who pretend to have, to know the full truth, is, in a certain sense, Pope Francis tries to attack this spirit, to overcome this spirit, and to replace it by an original spirit of the community of church, of dialogue, and of dialogue which is based not on the idea that one who has the abstract truth is exercising power on the other, but the faith in Christ, the faith in a truth which is person, is creating a concrete community, which is also the idea of the renewal of church in Rosmini. We read in paragraph 145 of the Five Wounds, feudalism involves vassalage, which alone is sufficient to make it repugnant to the freedom characteristic of the church. But possessions of the feudatory acquire in addition a special kind of restriction resulting from the personal vassalage of the subject enjoying their usufruct. This is another reason why feudalism is intrinsically opposed to ecclesiastical office. Feudalism is intrinsically opposed to ecclesiastical office. Ecclesiastic office is not personal power of ones to others, and the spirit of the church, the personal existence of whose ministers vanishes in the divine constitution Christ left to his church. Her ministers no longer represent themselves, but the church. And this idea that ministers do not represent themselves, but the church, but the institution, is also a spirit, is also an idea which Christianity has introduced into political world, because political feudalistic world is characterized by personal power. But if a minister represents no longer himself but the institution, that means that he does not exercise the power on personal interests, on the base of a personal power on the others, for personal advantage. But the idea that the realization of a public office is a service on the others. And for Rosmini, this is a spirit of Christianity. This is an authentic spirit of church ministry, of the exercise of ministry in the church and also in the church constitution. And therefore also church has to be an example for society. And I think that in the same sense, Pope Francis wanted to reform church. And Rosmini goes on, the whole body of the church acts through them in all they do by virtue of the power proper to the head. Like a foot or arm in the human body, the various organs reflect no individual personality. A perfect mystical unity is the foundation of this wonderful constitution. We have a mystical constitution in which every individual is realizing himself within a body which is the body of Christ. So, the the mystical dimension is the existence of every Christ in of every Christian in Christ. This has to be the aim of all of the reforms, and this is also the dimension Pope Francis underlines in several occasions. Like a foot or arm, the members of the human body wishing to assert themselves individually would ruin the beauty and proportions of the body, either making it a monster or destroying it altogether. This affirming the personal individuality, exercising power on others, this feudalistic spirit is against the spirit of church. And the same must be said of the church. Yet this is precisely what the feudal system set out to do. Here Rusmini is saying it expressly. Each vessel can only stand for himself, for the person he serves, and for what belongs to that person. Each vessel can only stand for himself. He is not constitutively in relationship to others. And in 147, Rusmini says, in the Church's early history, unity was the dominant idea in Christian minds. As a result, everything the faithful and clergy said and did in church dispositions, in their reciprocal care of one another, and in the administration of possessions was illuminated and governed by the unity of Christ. Feudalism, on the other hand, was founded on the totally different idea of division, which springs from the notion of lordship or dominion. Here is, in other words, also said that the dimension of church is very, very important also for political reforms, also for the constitution of the political body. Because perhaps, the possibility that also a political body can perceive himself as a unity, that all the individuals of political society can perceive themselves as unity, perhaps depends on a spiritual capacity, perhaps depends on a minimum of, a mystic ability of the persons. And where does this mystical ability for the persons derive? Where does it come from? In this sense, the church has an important educative position, has a very, very, very important function to educate the people, the members of political society. This was meaning is underlining in the Five Wounds. This is one of the central themes of Pope Francis. Overcoming the idea of division, of individuality, of feudalism, in this sense, we can also see a certain feudalism in democratic societies. Feudalism exercised as the abuse of political power, as the abuse of economic power. With the modern means of publicity, of consumerism and other. To overcome these modern feudal structures, the educative dimension of church, social educative dimension of church, which makes possible that people almost in a very, very, very minimal part can perceive themselves as mystically part of a common unity is very, very important. These perhaps are not dimensions which a pure political or economic society can produce, and in which the political society has to recur to the religious dimensions of the people. In 148 of the Five Wounds we read, in our case, barbarian governments, while oppressing the church, tried to subject and remodel it completely in accordance with the idea of mutual individual lordship sustained by force. Almost unwittingly, however, they absorbed intimately the contrary idea of service, morality, unity, and spirituality proper to the Church. And in 151, a precious requirement in ancient days was that the clergy should use church temporalities only for the strict needs of their maintenance, the remainder to be applied to pious works, especially in alms for the poor. Christ founded the apostolate on poverty and on abandonment to providence, which would have moved the faithful to support those evangelizing them. This is the formulation of the rite of the spiritual use of richness, of the spiritual use of the temporalities, which do not have to become an obstacle to create a common social body, to not exclude the poor, to include the others, to overcome such social disequalities who divide people and not unify them. 155. Feudalism can be reduced in principle to an armed aristocracy whose interests, along with the interests of the local lords, demands the accumulation of wealth in the hands of the great family that is in very restricted circles. Very restricted circles, wealth in the hand of great families. This is the dynamics of feudalism. Worldly power depended upon this concentration of wealth and consequently opposed this equitable distribution in brotherly love. Rosmini, in other words, here is not criticizing that modern economy leads to the accumulation of richness. The problematic accumulation of richness is a feudalistic accumulation of richness, which we had in pre-modern societies. In pre-modern societies, which concentrated the wealth in restricted circles in great families. Instead, modern economies has the opportunity that even if we have some dimensions of accumulation, and accumulation in a certain sense has to be embodied in social rules, in a social constitution. It has not to be administrated, but it has to be ruled by politics. But this accumulation, which is inevitable in modern economies, for Rosmini, seems in this moment not to be such as feudalistic as the pre-modern feudalistic economy was, concentrating richness in the hands of a few of great families, stating here and founding here political personal power of one to the others. Benefices were thus a necessary institution to secure the maintenance of the weakest elements in the clergy, who would have starved to death without some safeguard against the rapacity of the great lords, bishops included. So, in this way, the lower clergy, but we can also say all the people, are then regarded. To the rich ones who had to benefit them. So the beneficence was the fundamental social opera in pre-modern societies. In modern societies, the only beneficence has to be partly integrated also with the reforms of social structures, with a constitutional framework, with institutional rules, and with a fundamental social politics, which cannot be a social politics of redistribution, which Rosmini would consider of a socialistic nature, but more in terms of them we know OG as social market economy. But this would be a theme evidently for other lessons. Let's go ahead. 160. Temporal power can assist the church only by brute force. The soul means naturally available to it. Temporal power is always acting by brute force. Brute force is by its nature, but force by its nature is diametrically opposed to the spirit of the church. This, in this sentence, Rosmini is underlining the different nature, the different essence of church regard to the political society. And because of this division, we can also speak of a fundamental Catholic liberalism in Rosmini. Rosmini is against the politicization of church, against its feudalistic institution, and he wanted to bring her to her original intuitions. And he said, "What kind of impression is made by a church whose weapons are chains, batons, and the sword? This horrible monstrosity is repugnant to good and bad alike. Yet temporal rule knows no other way of offering protection, which it imposes without limit. It commands and extends its command as far as possible." So, offering protection, but offering protection, yes, but protection with the use of weapons, with the use of force, and without having a limit of the use of force. This is the problem of the use of political power. "We have seen that in early times bishops explained everything," said Rosmini, "including their use of temporal benefits to their people and clergy." Once that, in the feudalistic spirit, now the church was divided in upper and higher clergy, and in bishops and clergy, and between the bishops. The bishops lose their very, very original social function, the function to educate. And all church, we can add now, loses her competency to educate. And this is the main competency church today for society has to reacquire. I think in Pope Francis we can find exactly this mission. Let's go now to the second point of the social ethical reflection which we have under the theme Pope Francis and Rosmini, and this is the collegiality as expression of the unity of church. Let's begin also this time with a quotation of Pope Francis, who on July the 28th in 2013 affirms in the press conference during the return flight from the apostolic journey to Rio on the occasion of the World Youth Day. And he said, "The steps I have taken during these 4.5 months of his pontificate come from two sources. The content of what had to be done, all of it, comes from the General Congregation of the Cardinals. There were certain things that we cardinals asked of the one who was to be the new pope. We asked, for example, for the commission of 8 cardinals. We know that it is important to have an outside body of consultors, not the consultation bodies that already exist, but one of the outside. This is entirely in keeping with the maturing of the relationship between synodality and primacy. In other words, having these 8 cardinals will favor synodality. They will help the various episcopates of the world to express themselves in the very government of the church." So the first issue of his pontificate is an issue that was formulated already before his election from the cardinals. The cardinals said, "We want from the new pope, we want the new pope to build a commission of 8 cardinals. These 8 cardinals, as we read here in this interview of Pope Francis, should improve major the relationship between synodality and primacy. Primacy and synodality should be put into a new relationship. Or, in other words, the relationship of synodality and primacy should be formulated, defined better. When primacy was defined the first time, on the first Vatican Council, We know that this council not only defined the primacy in absence of many cardinals who just went away, not only because there was the threat of the Italian military outside of Rome, but they also went away as gestures of protest. But over that and in the occasion of the bellicus and the war situation in Rome, the First Vatican Council did not finish in the way that it was officially closed. It had to give many other constitutions, formulations. And after the definition of the primacy, it would have been the exigency to formulate now the relationship between this primacy and the synodal principle. This did not happen anymore. The Second Vatican Council tried to formulate it, but as we know, even today, it is very in discussion. And Pope Francis, reflecting also on the last pontificates, does want to improve this relationship, does want to realize the relationship between primacy and synodality in a new way, in a more deep way, does want that the primacy of the Pope is nearly identified with the principle of synodality, so that the grounding principle of church should not be anymore the principle of primarity, but the principle of synodality. So that the same thing that Rusmini stated in the third wound of the church, a collegiality of the bishops. So we also see in this moment a very Rusminian idea that determines the actions and the thoughts in the first months of this new pontificate. And then he said, the second source has to do with present circumstances. The first is the problem of the IOR, of the IOR, the Vatican Bank, that is to say, how to manage it, how to conceptualize it, how to reformulate it, how to put right what needs to be put right. So he wants to reform the structures, the institutional structures of church, of the Curia, and the various institutions of it. And also this reform of institutions, as we said and we read already before, is one of the main Rusminian reflections. Now let's go to see what Rusmini thinks about the union, of the importance of the union of bishops as a central theme of ecclesiastical thought. The mystical dimension of church, the dimension that church is the body of Christ, has to be realized in its union, and the most significant sign of union of church is the union of bishops, the collegiality, the plurality which makes unity. And we read in the Five Wounds in paragraph 53, each individual diocese has to live the life of the universal church, remaining in vital, saving communication with it. The slightest separation leads to death. Impediments to communication with the whole church entail feeble, languid life proportionate to the power of the impediments to slow down and reduce vitality. But concepts like these are unknown to most of the clergy, and as a result, we necessarily have bishops whose views extend no further than the boundaries of their dioceses. So a diocese has to reflect, without any doubt, the whole universality of church. A diocese is not only a part. If it would be a part, then the primacy of the Pope, yes, would be the main principle, because only in the primacy we would have the whole unity of the church. The whole unity of the church, which we have in one diocese only in a part. But Rusmini here is saying, each individual diocese has to live the life of the universal church. In each diocese is realized the universal church, not only a part of the church. This makes sure that that we have in every diocese the original life of church. This makes sure that the bishop of a diocese is not only the administrator of the pope. So we have already in Rosmini a very, very original, structure of synodality. We have real synodality only if not only the sum of all bishops are making the universality of church, also that. But over that principle, we have to add another principle, and this principle is that, the other way around, the unity of church is not partially, but it's wholly, it's completely, it's totally realized in every single diocese. I think this is a very important ecclesiological reflection that we read here in paragraph 53 of the Five Wounds. Rosmini said, but concepts like these are unknown to most of the clergy. And as a result, we necessarily have bishops whose views extend no further than the boundaries of their diocese. Every bishop is thinking of himself as a sort of the pope, as a sort of emperor of his diocese. This is a problem of the times of Rosmini, but, as we know, also a problem of today. 45. Assemblies and councils, especially provincial councils, were held frequently in the first church, in the early church, said Rosmini. We had frequently consultations, councils. The unity of the church required unity of purpose, persuasion and affection, which cannot be achieved on command from a single person acting with authority. The life of church has to be real, not formal. The unity of church has to be cured, has to be lived concretely in huge frequency of councils and a high frequency of meetings between bishops, in a high frequency of relationship and contacts, or of itself authority when exercised by an individual always tends to attract envy and animosity, irritating subjects rather than enlightening them, says Rosmini. 56. In all their serious needs, bishops and churches of the entire world appealed to him as to a father, to the Pope, no? Appealed to the Pope as to a father, judge, teacher, leader, center, and common source. This was the idea of Pope, says Rosmini, in the early church. A Pope as father, judge, teacher, leader, center, and common source. And we can say that in a certain way, these attributes we find in Pope Francis, no? As a father. No? We have mostly in Pope Francis a figure of father, more father perhaps, or perceived more father than some of his predecessors. No? Also judge. Pope Francis wants to judge. He said in his interview with Spadaro, the most important characterize of Jesuit spirit which he wants to realize in his pontificate is the dimension of discernment, of discerning. No? The concrete and right judging single situations is one of the dimensions of Jesuit spirit which are the most important also for his pontificate. He does not want, in other words, to trust on feudalistic power structures, on administrative structures, but through the exercise of discerning, he says, the very spiritual aspect, the very spiritual aspect of leading church would be realized. So also this attribute, Rosmini entitled to the Pope to judge, we can see as specifically realized in this Pope. Teacher. We see Pope Francis quite every day as a teacher. Also, in his way, he is not teacher as they were his predecessors. As a teacher, he realized other dimension of teaching, but that he is interpreting in a very important way the figure of teacher, we cannot doubt about it. As a leader, he wants to reacquire the dimension of leading church, not letting other groups to lead her. Center, to be the center, to renew the Vatican Curia in the way that not everyone in this Curia can feel himself as the center of the church, but to put all the Curia in a new way of serving church. Therefore, he has to reinterpret himself also in a new way as center and common source. So we can see these aspects realized in Pope Francis, the same aspects that Rosmini said that according to the early church would have characterized the Pope. Persecuted pastors were confronted by him, the poor and deprived succored, the faithful of all nations assisted in every way. Here in this sentence of Rosmini, we can read concretely Pope Francis. You know. By him, the entire Catholic world was enlightened, directed, defended, calmed, and consoled. And in 57, Rosmini says, we have seen that the barbarian invasions which overthrew the Roman Empire brought the Church into one of those new periods of movement, as they are called, in which she rises once more to begin a new journey. The period we are speaking of here is characterized by the entrance of bishops into political government. The clear aim of Providence at such a decisive moment was, as we have said, to bring the religion of Christ into the heart of society and sanctify it through its rule. Because the order of Providence is certain and cannot be impeded, that aim was attained. But because all the human instruments used by Providence are necessarily limited and deficient, evil and disorder was the price paid for this achievement. One evil to be numbered amongst those already mentioned was disunion amongst the episcopate. The blow from the lance which struck and pierced the very heart of the gracious bride of Jesus Christ. Rosmini said here that although he was criticizing the feudalistic period and was finding the positive point of French Revolution just in the point to overcome the feudal epoch, the feudal epoch in itself has had its sense, because introducing the Christ of the spirit of Christianity in the feudalistic political system, it was healed it in a certain sense. It was in a certain sense it was brought into all aspects of the Occidental culture. The fact that Christian faith was combined with the political feudal system had brought the problems we talked about, but it had had the advantage to bring Christianity in all the aspects of human life, human Occidental life, in all aspects of the culture. So Rosmini said, also, if it was not the right interpretation of the spirit of Christianity, it also had its historical sense. So we see that Rosmini is interpreting the history of church and is interpreting the essence of church in a historical way. He does not say the essence of church is the spiritual one, and he is condemning and saying that all the periods they were before were not helpful. No, also the periods before are in the sign of divine providence. All the periods before has had their sense. And in this way, interpreting Christian faith in a historical way, we see another parallel to Pope Francis, another analogy to Pope Francis, because also Pope Francis is always underlining the historical dimension of faith. Faith is always something which is not an idealistic level and which has to be only pure. No, faith is something which is historical realized. And historical, it is realized also, evidently, also through problems, also through wounds, also in incurring the risk to be interpreted not in its pure, in its doctrinal sense. And this disposition to concede to the faith, to be realized also in a historical and so in such and therefore not perfect way, this is another common aspect of Pope Francis and Rosmini. And Rosmini, it is not, and we can see that evidently it's very characterizing of Rosmini that he is considering the five critical aspects of the Church as the five wounds, because the five wounds of Christ are also the five wounds of the resurrected Christ. After the resurrection, the body of Christ does not lose the five wounds. When Christ appears, the five wounds are always characterizing also his glorified body. So the five wounds are sacramental functions. The five wounds are, in a certain sense, the dimensions which with the Church is necessarily realized. It cannot be that Church is realized in a pure, only spiritual way. Church is realized in inner synthesis with reality. She is a sacramental function to reality, and therefore also the wound aspects, also the not perfect aspects, also the suffering aspects of the same body of Church are part of their spiritual function. So the Church, even if Rosmini is underlining the five points which are to be reformed, which are to be improved, Church has never to be thought as a society of purists, of perfectionists. Rosmini knows that it is never possible to eliminate completely the wounds from the Church. We have to improve them, we have to reform Church, we have to be responsible for the fact that Church is realizing every time, every more, every much more its spiritual mission and aspects. But this does not have to lead to perfectism. This does not have lead to, in a certain sense, a false spiritual interpretation of faith and Church. Faith and Church are always historical realities. This is an important coincidence of the thought of Rosmini and of the mission and the announcements of Pope Francis. Thank you for following us also this time.